Today, I want to finish off the year with a message that I really feel like God's put in my heart. Just a short one, or at least I hope it's going to be short, but it's just a thought and it's a message to help you to keep going. I said it earlier, but I do love this end of the year. I love the thought of we're at the end of the year, looking forward to the next, because I'm always excited for what God's going to do. But I feel like His word today for us is don't quit. I feel like that's the word for the whole year. Don't quit. I know there's troubles. I know there's issues. I know there's a whole load of things going on and there's stuff going bad all of the time, but I feel God sends screaming it into our hearts today. Do not quit and do not give up. There are dreams, there are destinies that God has put in our hearts. And one of the biggest dangers to them is the idea of like, I'm going to quit or I can't keep going. And I feel and I urge you and I encourage you today, God's saying, do not stop and do not quit. So let me bless you just before we get into the message. Lord, I pray for every heart. I pray, Holy Spirit, right now that you would help us. If we're thinking about quitting, Lord, don't let us in Jesus' name. Lord, if we're feeling like giving up, don't let us in Jesus' name. Give us your courage. Give us your hope. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, you would reveal this to us today and strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to talk about it. I want to talk about do not quit. Don't give up. Maybe you're on the verge of your dreams. You're not sure how long you've got to go to get to your dreams. Maybe it feels like you've been going around in circles for years. I'm going to encourage you, do not stop and do not give up, because God is always doing a new thing. And we have seen trouble after trouble this year. We have seen issues, global pandemics. We've seen Brexit crises. We've seen uncertainty. We've seen lockdowns. We've seen all sorts of things. But I believe God's saying at the end of the year, don't quit and don't give up. I've got new things coming. Now, I know at the start of this year, we said 2020 going to be the best year yet, but who's to say it hasn't been the best setup for the next decade we could have ever received? We've got to trust God in all things. And my encouragement for you today is, even when we don't understand, keep believing and keep trusting. I think one of the hardest things to do is to trust God in the gaps. Ever find that? You find like things are going really well. And so we say, God, well, that's awesome. You're doing great things. I'm going to keep praying, going to keep believing. But then things get stagnant and you know, you get anxious, you get nervous, or things seem to go backwards. And you've got those gap moments where you say like, what do I do now, God? What do I do now, God? What do I do now? But life keeps moving. The journey keeps going. And if you can keep moving forward and you can keep your faith and trust in God, then inevitably things begin to turn around again. So I believe one of the biggest challenges that we face is to keep trusting God in the gaps. And I want us to look at a story today from the Old Testament. It's from Joseph. Now, I love Joseph. If you remember, he's the guy who, you know, says he's got this incredible dream and his brothers are going to bow down. The world's going to bow down and everyone's going to worship him. And he's kind of going to live happily ever after. I mean, if you've read the story, then you know that is not the case. He gets an incredible dream and destiny from God. He believes he has heard, and he certainly has, and he believes this is the way it's going to be. But the moment he starts out on this dream and this destiny, it all goes south. Literally, it all goes, it could almost be over before it begun. Ever been like that in your life? And I want to encourage you. We're going to look at Joseph today. And if you know the story, then let me encourage you with it again. If you don't, let me remind you of the story. But Joseph's life was literally a roller coaster. It could have been over at many different times. And yet he kept going, kept going, kept going. And the hallmark of Joseph's life was that God's hand was always on him. Can I tell you today that God's hand is always on your life? Even when you don't notice it, even when you don't see it in the reality of your life and your possessions and your health and your strength and all of those things. But he says, I know. And I've promised that I will never leave you. So I need to tell you this today, that God's hand is on your life. Even when you don't see it and you don't sense it, He is right there. And just like Joseph, you might be in the valley right now, but God is going to bring you back up. And in the valley, you're learning things that you will need for the next mountaintop. You're learning things today that you will need for the next season. And if your roles are reversed into that, then get ready. You're going to go into a learning season where God's going to teach you things for the next season and the next season and the next season, because He has good things in store. So come on, I want us to look at four different places that Joseph goes to today. He goes to four different places. And I think you're going to find yourself in one of these places. Maybe you've been in one of these places and you're transitioning to the next. Or maybe you feel you're in multiple. So you feel like you're in two of these places. Well, again, don't give up. Joseph was in all these places and he still made it to his destiny. He still made it to the place that God had called him to. The first place that Joseph finds himself is the pit. Ever find yourself in a pit in life? You know, it's like a place where there's just no hope. In fact, there's no life in a pit, is there? I mean, there's no running water. We're going to read it in just a moment. There's no running water. There's no life. It's barren. It's empty. And you're alone. And Joseph finds himself in this place the moment he mentions his incredible God-given dream. It's crazy. You think when you mention this God-given dream, then it's all going to be supplied to you. But unfortunately, the first place where Joseph was going to find himself was in the pit. But it was all preparation for the future. Here we go. Genesis 37, verse 23. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Wow. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Ever find yourself in a place where you think the water, you think Holy Spirit, and you say, right, I'm in a place and there's no God in it? I mean, this was the place that Joseph was in. I'm in a place and it feels like there's no God in this. And yet God was everywhere. He was right there. And you're going to see his hand on his life. And then suddenly things are going to change. But maybe you're in a pit today. Maybe you know someone in a pit. What could you tell them? What could you encourage them? Could you encourage them and tell them, hey, don't give up. Don't quit, even though it's probably easy. Or two. I mean, at that moment in that pit, it would have been quite easy for Joseph just to go, well, look, I've had a good run. I've had a good dream, but this is it. And he could slowly see his life ebbing away, but he doesn't. And his life still has a lot to live. And your life still has a lot to live. And there's still dreams and there's still destiny. And God has incredible plans to make it come to fruition. Here's what it says in verse 28. When it seems like what's going to happen next, then the Midianite traders passed by. They're slave traders. And they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him. I mean, he's been in a pit and now he's being sold as a slave. But look at what the family's going to be sold into. The Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. Now, again, if you know the end of the story, then you know Joseph must get to Egypt. And even in the midst of despair, and even in this barren place, and even in this empty place, God is still moving his life, and he's moving him to the places he needs him to be. It wasn't the way maybe God always wanted him to. I'm sure he would have loved it to go smoother, nicer, more gentle than that. I know Joseph would have loved that, but still, God's still working. And notice what happens. He gets sold. He gets sold to the Ishmaelites. Now, if you know the story of Abraham, then you know that Joseph is in the line of Abraham. And Abraham got a wonderful promise from God that said he was going to be the father of many nations and that God was going to bless him and bless him and bless him. And so Joseph is one of those real life blessings from Abraham's life. He's one of those generations. But before Abraham stepped into his blessing, he took things into his own hands. And he found himself in a barren place too, because his wife couldn't have a child. Sarah couldn't have a baby. And so what he decided to do was he decided to take life into his own hands. And this is our danger and this is our problem. When we have a destiny and we've heard a word from God, our anxiousness, our anxiety says, well, I'm going to have to take this into my own hands. It's not working. It's not happening. And so he did that. And he slept with a servant called Hagar, and he got Ishmael, who then became the Ishmaelites, where we then get Islam from. And you can see how he makes a choice and at least another consequence, another consequence, another consequence. And that's the way our lives work. The choices we make lead to consequences. And so we have to make sure that our choices are good and not just good, but godly. And so in this instance, Abraham makes a choice and it's not godly. It might have been a good idea, but it was not godly. But look at how God turns things around. What once was a mistake now becomes a miracle. Because without the Ishmaelites, Joseph doesn't get to Egypt. Without the Ishmaelites, who does he get sold to? Maybe he gets sold to somebody else. See, God is always working. And even if there's issues in your family, and even if you've come from problems in your family, trust God and know that he's still able to move things around. And his hand is still upon your life, and you can still trust him. I hope this blesses you today. Place number two where Joseph found himself was the house. Now, the house couldn't have been any more different than the pit. Let me read it in Genesis 39:2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man because God was with him. And he was in the house of an Egyptian master. This is Potiphar. This is the Egyptian master. He was called Potiphar. He was a master in the army. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. And he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. He's went from the pit to the home, to a house. And now he's in a family. Now he's in an incredible place. It's a place of provision and security. It's an incredible place. And this sounds like a great place where Joseph should just, well, this will do me. Isn't it amazing how along the way, don't mistake God's blessings for a sign that you should stay. You should continue to follow God. You should continue to move forward, because there are going to be times when you're in the pit and you don't see God's blessing, and then suddenly things will change all of a sudden, and then you'll find yourself in a place and you'll say, well, this must be God because of his blessings and because of his goodness. No, he's just blessing you in the place where you are because his hand is upon you and he's a good God. We must always know what God's saying, and Joseph knew this was not the place for me. And it was going to be time soon to move on. Well, what happens is this perfect place turns into another horrible place. Because here's the thing that I find is even when it looks perfect, and even when it looks like it's the place where God has me, watch out how life can turn around again, because life is funny and life is weird. And sometimes life is really nasty. And now Potiphar's wife takes a notion on Joseph and she says, I have to have him. And here's what it says in verse 10. And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. You see, Joseph doesn't want to do the wrong thing. He has found himself away from the pit, and now he's in this beautiful home, and he wants to stay there, and he wants to be faithful to the master, and he wants to serve this master. But ultimately, no matter what master we serve, if it's not Jesus or it's not God, then we're not serving him. We're serving somebody else. And so even when Joseph was there and he was trying to be a blessing, the enemy was still working, life was still working, and Potiphar's wife decided, I want Joseph. And the story goes that Joseph decides, I need to get out of here. And as he goes, he drops his cloak, she keeps it, and then she says, he tried to get me. And before you know it, again, Joseph's life's in a mess. He's now in a prison. I mean, if your life is like this, you can still take courage. You can still be of good cheer. But if your life is not anywhere near close to this, then please, give yourself a shake and say, hey, my life might be bad, but it's not like this. I haven't been in a pit about to die. I haven't been in a home of accusation and been told I did wrong when I didn't. And I haven't been thrown into prison and been left for good, sort of thing. I mean, no, your life cannot be anything like this. But even if it is, you can still have courage and you can still encourage yourself in the things of God. You see, Joseph was following after God. He had a God-given dream. God had revealed it to him, and all he wanted to do was to fulfill this dream, but life came in the way. Ever find yourself just wanting to seek God, search after God, trying to do the right thing, and then you find yourself going into a mess after mess, and you're thinking, how did I get here? Remember, Joseph had done nothing wrong. All he had done was say, here's the dream that God's given me, and I'm going to follow after God. That's all he had decided to do, and yet life had turned around on him, and things had went around. Here's what I'm glad that Joseph didn't do. He didn't just wallow in self-pity. He didn't just give up because it was like, well, this is not fair, and life's not fair. No, he just decided, God's hand is on me. This is not my doing. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to keep serving God. Eventually, this perfect home, this perfect place became a place of accusation and blame and fear. And now he's in prison. Where do you find yourself today? Maybe you're in a mental prison. Maybe you're in a psychological prison. Maybe you've been in real prison. I'm telling you, God's still there, and God's life is still upon you, and God's life is still in you, and his destiny is still upon your life, and he's still got great things planned for you. Place number three was the prison. It was a place of no escape, isn't it? I mean, prison is just a place of no escape, and a prison can be anything, any place where you find yourself, where you feel trapped, and you feel no escape, and you feel like, how am I supposed to get out of this one? How did I even get here? I've been there and I think, how did I even get here, Lord? Lord, help me. And then those moments, the most normal thing in the world seems to be, I should just quit. I should just give up. But Joseph doesn't. And look what it says in verse 20. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. You see, you got to understand that even though Joseph's life is in a mess, he's still following after God and God's still moving his life. And now he's right next to the king. And the end of Joseph's life, or the destiny of Joseph's life, is to be next to the king. In fact, he's going to be just as great as the king, but for the kingdom of God. And now he's right next to the king. Now, not in an ideal position. Come on, he hasn't been set up for success in prison. But trust God. Even when you're close, even when you're not in the right position, even when it seems like all hope is lost and you're in a place of no escape, if God's still with you and you're still trusting God, then he's able to do the impossible. If you've been around Vibe for any length of time, then you know God has been doing impossible things with us from day number one, and there's still more to come. Amen. And here's what happens. Verse 22, so the warden put Joseph in charge. of all those that were held in prison. And he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. I mean, this prison was a strange place, wasn't it? I mean, he's in a place of confinement. He's in a place of restraint, but he's been given a measure of freedom. He's been given a measure of responsibility. He's been put in charge. But can I tell you that there's only one kind of freedom, and that's true freedom? What's your life like? Maybe you don't realize you're in a prison because you've got like a measure of security. You've got a measure of control. You've got a measure of authority. But when you really start to dwell on it, and even right now, you realize and you know in your heart of hearts, I don't really know true freedom. Can I tell you, don't stop there. This was a strange place. He was right next to the king. He was going to have all the supplies met, but it was a place of uncertainty because at any moment he might find himself on death row. At any moment he might find his life over. At any moment he may lose his position because although it seemed like a strange, perfect place, it was not the place for Joseph. And I want to tell you that if you feel that you're trapped in a place of no escape, but you've made good out of it and you've just decided, well, you know, I'll make the best of this and I'll still be here and I'll still be able to do this and I've still a bit of authority there. I mean, please don't fool yourself. The only place to be is with God. The only place to be is following after God. The only place to be is in full freedom. That's what you were made for. Not a measure of freedom, but full freedom. Trust God in every scenario. Joseph wouldn't quit. Joseph wouldn't quit. And because of that, God was still in control. He said, but God, I'm still trusting you with my life. And I know I'm being blessed. And I know there's favor upon me, but this is not my end destination. I'm going to tell you, don't give up too soon. Joseph was closer now than ever before to his destiny. But this could have been a place where he gave up or was forced to give up. But he would not. And I want to tell you, you could be right next door to your destiny. You could be right next door to the next thing that God's calling you into. But it could be easy to stop here. It might even feel like you've no choice but to stop here. But even in prison, God had an incredible plan and he was calling them out. So let me get you to place number four and we're nearly done. Place number four was the dream place, or so it seemed, it was the palace. And now Joseph gets to the palace and now he's interpreting dreams for the king and he's about to get released and his life is about to be turned around. And this would have been an incredible place just to stay. But again, God had more. Verse 14 of 41, it says this. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Now he's before the most powerful man in the land. And this is the man you want to be around. I mean, it would have been easy for Joseph at this point to go, right, I'm done now. God, we've had a good ride. We've had a good time together, but I'm going to stay close to this guy because this is the guy who's going to make my life better here and now. But Joseph didn't. He still knew who was in control of his life. He still knew who was orchestrating and pulling the strings behind the scenes. He still knew whose hand was upon him. And it was not Pharaoh's, but it was God, the King of Kings. God's hand is upon you, even when you're running away from him. Even when you don't know him, his hand is right there. He is available to you. And you've got to, and you need to keep your trust or put your trust in him. Verse 40, you shall be in charge. Now look what happens. You should be in charge of my palace. And all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Wow, you go from the pit and now you're in charge of the whole palace and the whole land. There's only one above you, which is Pharaoh. This is incredible. How could this have ever taken place? This is God. This is God's favor on Joseph's life. It didn't look like it for a whole lot of times. It didn't look like he was even going to survive at times, but he not only survived, but he thrived. Guys, where do you find yourself at the end of 2020? Where do you find yourself? Maybe this whole year has been a prison. Maybe this whole year has been a barren pit and you're thinking, how can I continue to go on? Maybe this whole year has been a mess. Can I tell you that God still has good things in store if you would just keep your focus on him and keep looking to him? I want to tell you about one more place, and it's place number five, and this is an incredible place. It's a place of rest. I want to tell you, this is the true place. The true place where Joseph was the whole time, whether it was the pit, whether it was the home, whether it was prison, or whether it was the palace, the whole time where he really was at rest with God. He was in that place with God. He had placed his life in God. And I want to encourage you that wherever you find yourself, don't look for your place in places. Look for your place in God. That is your ultimate place in life. That is the ultimate place of rest. That's the place that can never be taken from you. Because it didn't matter if Joseph was in the pit, even though it's not a nice place. It didn't matter when he was in the home full of accusations and being accused in the wrong. It didn't even matter when he was in prison, because his life was still always placed in God. Whenever your life is placed in God, it doesn't matter if the circumstances change or your life changes or things about your life are affected and turned around out of your control or even in your control. If your life is placed in God, then that is the best place and the most secure place that you could ever be. And it does not matter what the enemy tries to do. You are still placed, and you have still placed your trust and your life in God. You see, all four places were great, but there's nothing like place number five, your life placed in God. It's the true place. Joseph didn't quit. He never did. There's no perfect place to quit. Amen. You've got to keep serving. You've got to keep following. You've got to keep trusting God. So 2020, it's nearly over. I'm going to tell you, please keep going. Please keep trusting God. If you're a Christian, don't give up. Now, you can be down and you can even feel a bit out, and you can even feel a lot of doubts and a lot of worries, and that's fine. Pour all of that out to God. He's more than big enough to deal with all of that stuff, and watch how he will come back with love and kindness and generosity. Maybe you're in a place where you don't even hear God. You feel like you're in a pit and it's like, where are you, God? Keep searching, keep asking, keep receiving, because God is there. And maybe you found yourself in the palace and it seems like a great place and maybe I should stay, or maybe you're in the home and it seems like a great place. But here's what I find: life's about to turn, suddenlies are about to come, and the only thing that will help you overcome in those moments is placing your full life and your full trust in God. If you're with God, keep going, keep trusting him. If you're not with God, what about starting 2021? What about starting at the end of 2020 with God and saying, God, I've tried all those places. You know what? I've been in all those places and more, but I'm still uncertain about the future. I'm still lost. I'm still confused. I'm going to tell you that you're always going to be lost and confused until you come to Christ, until you put your trust in him, because there is no other place. There is no other place outside of him. So come on, today we're going to pray, and I'm going to urge you, I'm going to appeal to you, I'm going to tell you, you should come to Christ and you should give him your life. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for every heart and every life, Lord. I thank you for every person that's tuned in. I thank you for every person that's listening. Lord, I pray today that you would speak to them boldly and clearly, as you've already done, but you would continue to do that. And I pray, Holy Spirit, for anybody who doesn't know you, that they would come to know you. Bible tells us all we have to do is put our trust in Jesus and follow after him, and he will take away our sins, and we will be given that brand new start spiritually that we need, and our home will be secure in heaven. So I pray right now, Lord, for anybody who's lost, anybody who doesn't know you, let's say yes to Jesus right now. And Lord, I pray for anybody who does know you and anybody that's following after you. I pray, Holy Spirit, would you come right now and convict our hearts, Lord, and help us to move forward with strength and with purpose. And even those moments when we're limping, and even those moments when we're trapped, and even those moments when there's no escape, let us continue to put our trust and place our lives in you, because you're our only hope and you are the best by far. So, Lord, I pray today for your strength, your encouragement, your peace. Thank you for a year, Lord, that was filled with all sorts of things. But thank you, Lord, that you're still on the throne and your blessing is still available to us. And I pray today, Lord, for your peace and your confidence and your boldness as we step into 2021. And I ask for your favor in every heart and in every life. In Jesus' name, amen.